Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Megillah Daf Yud Tes. We begin at the Mishnah about 8 lines down from the top. We're learning today Leilu Nishmas Beikel Finkel Bas Yehuda. This is David Siegel's mother. David's a regular the shiur for several cycles, and we're also learning today Leilu Nishmas Florence Roseman. I don't have her Hebrew name. All the neshamas we learn for should have an aliyah. Okay, we begin at the new Mishnah. Ben Ir, person who is a non-walled city dweller. He lives in a non-walled city. Ben Ir. Sholach l'krach. Krach is what the term that we use for a walled city. So a person who lives in a non-walled city who goes to a walled city. When does he read the Megillah? Or vice versa. Uben krach. A person living in a walled city, normally read on Tezvav, sholach l'ir. He goes to a non-walled city. When does he read the Megillah? So it all depends on their intention. Im osid lachzor l'mkomo. If they intend to be in their hometown on the day of the reading of the Megillah, in other words, the person who's a Yadalit person was not expecting to be in the walled city on the morning of Tezvav. And similarly, the walled city person was not expecting to be in the non-walled city on the morning of Yadalit. They may have been there the night before, but they weren't expecting to be there in the morning. Im osid lachzor l'mkomo. Their plan was that they would be in their own city on the day of Yadalit or Tezvav, respectively. So then korei kimkomo. Then they read the Megillah the regular way that they normally would. The non-walled city person on Yadalit, the walled city person on Tezvav. Im lav. However, if they were intending to be in that place, so then korei imon. Then you read with those people. So if the non-walled city person is intending to be in the walled city on Tesvav, he reads with Tesvav. And if the walled city person is intending to be in the non-walled city on Yudalit, he reads with them on Yudalit. Mishnah continues and says, we had alluded to this yesterday. We're going to have three shitas here in the Mishnah, and the Gemara is giving us the fourth shita. How much is the obligation to read the Megillah? Now, as we'll see, you have to read from an entire Megillah. Everybody agrees to that. But how much is the actual obligation to read? We follow the first opinion, which is Alochla Maisa. What do you have to read of the Megillah to fulfill your obligation? So the Tanakam, Rav Meir, Omer Kula. You have to read the entire Megillah, which is, of course, how we paskin. Rav Yehuda disagrees. Rav Yehuda says, Omer, Me'ish Yudi. If you start from the part introducing Mordechai, Ish Yudi Ayob, Shushanam, Birosh, Mo Mordechai. So if you read from there till the end of the Megillah, you fulfill your obligation. Gemara will explain why. All of them will actually learn it from the same pasuk. Then we have the third opinion on Mishnah, Rav Yossi. Rav Yossi Omer, if you start reading Me'acharad Rume'ela, which is the bringing of Haman to power, that's when Haman is appointed to be the Sheni Lamelech, so then that is adequate as well to fulfill your obligation. We'll see a fourth opinion in the Gemara, and we'll see that all of them learned it out from the same psukim. So we start off and learn the first din about the person living in a non-walled city going to a walled city and vice versa. What is that halacha? I already explained it to you. We see it now inside. Amar Rava. Lo shana. We only said Elisha Asid Lachzor B'Leil Yudalit. When we're talking about the walled city person, he's in the non-walled city on the night of Yudalit. So as long as he's planning to leave there and not be there in the morning, so that he doesn't read it with them the night of Yudalit. He can wait till he gets to his hometown, the walled city, and read it there on the night of Tezvav. That's Shalosh Shana. We only said this then, El Shaosid Lachzor B'Leil Yudalit. He wasn't planning on being there on the morning of Yudalit, but he was there on the night of Yudalit. However, Abel Einosid Lachzor B'Leil Yarbosar, if he wasn't planning on going back that night, and he would be there in the morning, so then Kori Mart, then he has to read it with the people in the non-walled city. I hope that was clear. Again, it's telling us an idea where you intend to be. On the morning defines what your Chiyuv is, because the Ikar reading is the morning, as we've already explained. And therefore, even though you're in the non-walled city on the night of Yudalit, and they're all reading the Megillah, but you're planning on going back, then you don't have to read the Megillah with them. You'll read it on the night of Tesvav and the day of Tesvav. Similarly, if the person living in a non-walled city happens to be in a walled city on the night of Tesvav, so he doesn't have to read it with them if he's planning on going back before the following morning. That's the halacha lemaisa. That's brought down in Shulchan Aruch as well. Omer Rava. Rava says, "Minah mina law." How does Rava say? Where did I get this from? So he says it's based upon the pasuk of the Megillah. They'll say, "Al kein ayudim ha prozim." Those Jews that live in unwalled cities, prozim is the unwalled cities. Hayoshvim biorei ha prozos, that are in the orei ha prozos. Now, what does that tell us? Milte. It says "Ksiv ayudim ha prozim." It says the Jews that live in a non-walled city. So what does it have to tell me? Hayoshvim biorei ha prozos. Lo belila michtav. Hayoshvim biorei ha prozos. What does that add on? The Paruz ben Yomo, even if a person who normally lives in a walled city is in the non-walled city on the day of Yudalit, Nekro Paruz, he's like them and has to read like them. Okay, that teaches us that way. Ashkelon Paruz, how do we know the opposite is also true? Mukov Minol, and how do we know a person who lives in a normal city, who happens to be in a walled city, on the morning of Tetzav has to read it like them. So Gemara says, Svaru, it's logical. Midiparuz ben yomo kori paruz, mukav ben yomo kori mukav. Why would it work one way different than the other? If we call a person who's normally living in a walled city, we call him a non-walled resident if he's there on Yudalit. So like what we call a person who normally lives in a non-walled city, if he's in a walled city, we call him a resident of a walled city if he's there for the morning of Tesvav. So that is the critical factor. Now we have an additional din. Yama Rava Rava tells us another din. Ben Kifar Shoholach Liir. The person lives in one of the small villages where they read it on Yudalit, Yudbez, or Yudgimel. And now he goes to a non-walled city where they're reading it on Yudalit. So Ben Kach or Ben Kach. Here it doesn't make any difference whether you're going to be there on Yudalit in the morning or not. If he's there on Yudalit at nighttime, so then he has to read with them. Kori Moen. Why? How come this is different? My timer. Because, hi, Kibnei Ha'ir, Boil Mikre. He technically should have read it on Yudalit. We only gave him a special dispensation, the Rabbanan Hu Da'akilu Alakvorim, Kadeshi Yisavku, Mayim Mozo, Le'acheim Shevikrachin. We only made it easier on the people living in the small little villages that they could read it on Yudalit, Yubayz, and Gimel to help out, that they don't have to come in twice because they're coming in anyway to the big cities on a Monday or Tuesday, a Monday or Thursday to go and help out. So therefore we said, okay, if you're coming in anyway, we're not going to make you come in twice, and therefore we'll let you read it earlier. But if you happen to be in the big city on your Dalit anyway, so then we don't allow this Heter. That's because you're normally not in the big city on your Dalit. You're only coming in the Yom HaKnisa, which is the Monday to Thursday, so we let you read it on your Dalit, your Beis, or your Gimel. But if you're coming into the big city and you're going to be there, Avol Kiyisei Be'ir, then we say, Kibnei Ir, Boi Lemikre. Then if you're there on your Dalit, the reading that you did on your Yudalit Gimel doesn't help you anymore. You have to go read it again on your Dalit. That's what Rava tells us. Abaye questions us. Ezvi Abaye. Abaye says, wait a second. Ben Krach Shoholach Liir. Ben Kach U Ben Kach Kori Kimkomo. If the Ben Krach, if the person who lives in the walled city, so he goes into a non-walled city, so Ben Kach U Ben Kach, whether he's there in the morning of the 14th or he left in the morning of the 14th, Kori Kimkomo. He reads the Megillah like he did in his own place. Now, we have a problem with this. Abaye says, Ben Krach Salkadaitach, is that true? That's not what we just said. We said, it depends on whether he's going to be there, his intention is to be there or not. That's the critical factor. How can you tell me, Ben Krach or Ben Krach, he reads like Tesvav? No. So Abaye says, that's a mistake. You have to reread the Braisa. Ben Krach Salkadaitach, you can't read it that way. Ella, Bim Osid Lachzor Tayamilsa. That Braisa has to be corrected to be teaching us that it all depends on his intention. If he's intending to be there on the morning of Yudalit, he reads with the Yudalit people. But if he's intending to go back on the night of Yudalit and not be in the non-walled city on Yudalit, then he reads like his hometown on Tesvav. So Bim Osid Lachzor Tayamilsa. And therefore, El Olah Ben Kfar, so this same halacha should apply to a Ben Kfar. It all should depend. Are you intending to be there on the morning of Yudalit? Then you should have to go and read it with them on the night of Yudalit. But if you're intending to go home, why wasn't your reading on Yudalit, Yubayz, Gimel good enough? That's what Abaye questions over here to Rava. And the answer is, V'lav Terutzi Mitarzis, you changed around this Braisa. So once you change around the Braisa, Tani Kore Iman. So then read it that it should say that he has to read with them on the night of Yudalit, even if he's intending to go back. Because again, the dispensation to read Yudalit, Yubayz, Gimel was only a special cooler for them. But if it doesn't apply because you're in the non-walled city on the night of Yudalit, so then you have to read with them on the night of Yudalit. Now we discuss the three shitas that we learned in the second part of the Mishnah, and we'll add the fourth shita. So we first quote the Mishnah. It said, Behechon Kori Odom Svegil V'chulei, and we have the three shitas, Rav Meir, Rav Yehuda, Rav Yossi. And now, Tanya, we have a fourth shita. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, Omer Rabbi Shimon Yochai says, Mi Balailahu. We start from the beginning of the actual miracle. Balailahu, Nodoshnas HaMelech. That's the chiyuv to read the Megillah. Now again, all say that you must read it from an intact entire Megillah, but they each have a different opinion as to what is obligatory to be Yotzei the Mitzvah. I'm Rav Yochanan, and as I mentioned, this is what Rav Yochanan says, Kulon Mikra Echadosh. They all learn that from the same Pasuk. The Pasuk says, Vatichtov Esther Malka, Mordechai Yudi, Es called Tokef. So they read the entire Tokef. What does it mean, the entire Tokef? And that means the strength of the Megillah. Now, what is the definition of the strength of the Megillah? That's what they're arguing about. Man Diomar Kula, according to Rav Meir, who says all of it, it's referring to Tokfo Shel Achashverosh, because we start off, Ahibi Achashverosh, Hu Achashverosh, Amelch Meyodu Yakush, Sheva, Yesu Meyod Medina. So now, wow, he's a powerful king. He was Malach Bekipa, he was ruling over the whole world. So we need to understand the Tokef of who? Of Achashverosh, to tell us the greatness of this miracle, that even such a mighty king we were able to defeat. So therefore, you have to read from the very beginning. That's Rav Meir's opinion, and that's, of course, the Halacha L'Maaseh. Now, Man Diomar Mishudi, the second opinion of Yehuda says you only have to read from Mishudi, because the point of the tokef that you have to have, Esther, Malka, Mordechai, Yudi said you have to write down, is called tokef, so that means tokel shel Mordechai. Mordechai's rise to power, so to say. So when we start reading about Mordechai, Yishudi Ayah B'Shushan Bira, that's the critical part. They hold that's the tokef. Rav Yossi, Yuman De'omar, Me'achar Adri Ma'ela, when it says that Gidel HaMelech HaShrosh is Haman, that's when we start hearing about Haman. So Tokel Shel Haman, that's a critical factor. And finally, the fourth sheet of Shimon Yochai, Uman De'omar, Mibalailahu, that's referring to Tokfel Shel Nes. That's when the Nes started, that Achshverosh couldn't sleep, and he gives the kavod to Mordechai, and that's the downfall of Haman. So each of them says you have to read from the Tokef, but each have a different opinion of what the Tokef is referring to. Rav Huna Amar Rehocha, Rav Huna has a different opinion. Rav Huna says, here's what you learned it out from. It says, Umar Ra'u Al Kocha, Umar Yigia Alehem. A pasuk that says they saw something, and then based upon that, they saw what happened to them, what ended up happening to them. So therefore, we have to darshan each of these four shittos within this pasuk. So again, Rabbi Meir says, Kula, Mandi Omar Kula. So he says, what does it mean, Ma'ra? He says, Ma'ra, Achashverosh, Shinishtamesh, Bekelim, Shabes Amigdosh. What we're saying is, what did they see? So they saw that Achashverosh was using the Kelim of the Beis Amigdosh for his Suda. And Al-Kocha, why? Mishum Dechoshiv Shiv Mishtin, below Ifrok, as we had in the first parak. He calculated the 70 years incorrectly, but he thought the 70 years were up, that the Jews weren't going to be redeemed, so he took out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. So that was Umaro to go and take out the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash, because he miscalculated. And what happened? The Kotel Vashti. So he ended up killing Vashti. So that's the critical part, why you have to start from the very beginning in order to fulfill this idea of understanding Umaro, Al-Kocha, Magielahem. Rabbi Yehuda, he says, Uman Diomar Meish Yehudi, he says you start from Ish Yehudi, so Ma'ra, what does that mean? Ma'ra, Mordechai, di Kane, Bahaman. What caused Mordechai to go and, quote, so to say, get Haman upset by not bowing down to him? So, Al-Kocha, Dushavi Nashe Avodah Zarah, because Mordechai said, I'm not bowing down to you, Haman, you're claiming you're an Avodah Zarah, you're claiming you're a god, I don't bow down to false gods. And therefore, what happened? The Israchish Nisa. That's the whole miracle that Haman was eventually hung and Mordechai became the second in command. He took over from Haman. That's Rabbi Yehuda's reasoning. And according to Rabbi Yossi, who says, you can start from there. So, Ma'ra, what is that referring to? Haman, Shiniskane, Bechol Yudim. And Haman was upset with Yudim. And in a Shoveli, I can't understand it. Mordechai doesn't bow down to me. It's terrible. He was so upset because Mordechai had everything, except that Mordechai didn't bow down to him and didn't subjugate himself to him. And therefore, what happened? Ultimately, they all were killed. They were hung. Haman was hung with his 10 sons. Okay, so that's the opinion of Rav Yossi. And finally, Shmuel Yochai, Umad Amar, Balailahu, you start reading from there. So Ma'ra, what was that referring to? Achashverosh, Lo Yisev HaZichronos. He couldn't sleep because he was afraid that somebody wasn't helping him. Al-Kocha, why? The Ziminte Esther Lohaman Badei. That was the part we explained in the first paragraph. That was Esther's smartness over here that she said, let's get Achashverosh jealous. Why am I inviting Haman to our private candlelight dinner? Uh-oh. Maybe they're trying to rebel against me. Well, how come nobody's telling me? Oh, it must be because I didn't go and reward somebody for being good to me. So that's why he took out Al-Kocha. Therefore, he brings out the Seira Zichronos, the Rehi Amim, to go and be read. Oh, this Rachash Nisa. And that led to the Nesa occurring. So Rav Huna says that all four opinions are based upon this pasuk, Maru Al-Kocha, Mogi Aliyam. Now the Gemara says, how do we pass? We pass like Rav Meir says you have to read the entire Megillah. And even according to the other three Mandi Omars, Avila Mandi Omar Ishudi, Rabbi Yehuda, and even according to Rabbi Yossi, it says, Achar the Mela, and even according to Rabbi Yochai, who says, Abalailahu, all of them say, they all agree, Tzricha Shetek Suvil Kula. You have to have an entire Megillah that you're reading from. Again, as we pointed out, it really doesn't mean an entire Megillah. This has to be 50% of the Megillah plus, so then it's okay. But they all agree that Lechatrila, you should have an entire Megillah, even if they say that the obligation to read doesn't necessarily occur for the entire Megillah. Now read then another memra from the Omer Rabbi Chabo, Omer Chamo, Bagui, Omer Rav. He says, Megillah Nikres Sefer, the Nikres Igeris. The Megillah's Esther is referred to both as a Sefer, like a Sefer Torah, and it's also referred to as an Igeris. Igeris is a letter, and that's why we fold up the Megillah as opposed to a Sefer Torah, which we have two Yodayim, and we roll it back and forth, and we only keep the part that we're looking at open, but by the Megillah, we actually take out the entire Megillah, open it all up, and we fold it over. It should be like an Igeris. Now, there are other halachos over here, why it's important that it referred to as a sefer, and why it's referred to as an igaris. What are those halachos? Nikra sefer, it's called a sefer in terms of the halachoshim tofra b'chute pishtan psula, that when you're sewing up the different pieces of a cloth together, you're not allowed to use the linen threads. You have to use bedafka, the gidim from an animal. Nikra igaris, shemhita boshlosh chute gidim kishera, that as long as you have three stitches there, as we'll see, Amar of Nachman, Uvavai, Shum, and Shulashim, they have to be equally spaced apart, so that you have one in the top third, then one in the middle, one in the bottom third, so they're equally spaced apart from themselves, and as well from the top and the bottom of the cloth, so then that's the minimal amount that you have to have, and then it's acceptable. Whereas for a Sefer Torah, you have to have it all the way up, almost to the very top, and all the way down, all the way to the very bottom. A little space is left over so that it won't rip. It will have a little give, so to say. In any event, that's why it's called a sefer. That's why it's called an igaris. You need to have like a sefer that has to be chute gidin and not pishtan, but it doesn't have to have all of the dinim of a sefer. It can be like an igaris. I reviewed Amr Shmuel. Another halacha, a review that says the name of Shmuel, Hakori b'megillah, ksuvah ben haksuvim. If you're reading a Megillah that's written amongst all the other ksuvim. In other words, it's not a separate Megillah by itself, but it's a whole series of Megillahs that you have all together. Right? You have English books or published books that have the Chamesh Megillahs. Right? Art School, the first one of the first Sfarim that they came out with was the five Megillahs. And it's a beautiful idea to put them all together, so you have one nice source. But if you're reading that from a cloth and all five of them were together, it's technically no good. And that's what Yehuda Mishul tells us. Hakori, if you're going to read from a Megillah that is Ksuva, Ben Ksuvim, Lo Yotze, you're not Yotze. Now, Amar Rava, Rava tells us, Lo Amar, and this din was only said, Ela de lo Machasra o Meyasra Purta. That's only if they were all exactly the same. But if the Megillah part was either taller on both sides than the rest of the other Megillahs, or shorter than the others, so then it looks clearly like a separate entity, and you're Bedafka reading it for the Megillah's Esther, so then that would be acceptable as well. Abu Machasra, Miyasra, Porta, as long as it's a little bit longer or a little bit shorter, so less limbo. Then it's not a problem that it's written with all the other Megillahs. Levi by Shmuel, have a kokari kameh, the Rav Yehuda Megillah. Levi by Shmuel was once reading the Megillah in front of Shmuel. And we turn to the Amud Beis. Haksuva ben Haksuvim. This Megillah was, in fact, written among other Megillahs, which we just said is no good. So Yehuda tells him, Omalei, Harei Amru, Chazal said, Hakari Megillah, Haksuv ben Haksuvim, Lo Yotzo. So what are you doing? Levi by Shmuel, why would you read it in this way? Okay. Amr Chia bar Abba, Amr Yochanan, Amr Chia bar Abba, Sinim Yochanan, Hakari Megillah, Haksuv ben Haksuvim, Lo Yotzo. Same idea. He says, you're not Yotze. Umochu lo amocha. However, he then qualified that, and we use the poetic expression over here, and it's like he gave it as that's on his head. So, in other words, he wasn't as strong as the original sounding din is. Oh, you're not Yotzi no matter what. But he says that's only Betzibur Shanu, that's only in public, because it doesn't look like you're reading the Megillah, Bedafka for the sake of Megillah. It looks like you're taking out a scroll and you're just learning Torah. So it doesn't have the same impact on Pirsumei Nisa. But if you were to read it privately, B'yechidus, then that would not be a problem. So, like I just said, umocha lo amocha, he cut it off. It wasn't as strong as it was. He smashed it on its head, so to say, and changed around the din from being an absolute to saying, no, it only works some of the time. Some of the time it doesn't work. Another statement they made, Amar Chia bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, similar idea, Shir Tvar Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai, the halacha that we just alluded to a moment ago, that with the Sefer Torah, the stitching with the Gidin has to be all the way up to the top. That's Halacha L'Moshe B'Sinai. So you have to have it almost all the way up to the top and all the way to the bottom. However, again, he destroyed this din. He weakened this din. He gave it a zetz on the head. The whole purpose over here is that it shouldn't rip. And therefore, it's not telling us that it literally has to be sewn up all the way to the top. The whole idea is it has to be sewn up most of the way. But if you leave a little room at the top, a little room at the bottom, so it doesn't rip, it has a little give, so that's perfectly acceptable. Another statement that he made, Amar Chia bar Abba, Amar Yochanan, Ilmale nishtaya b'ma'ara, sh'amad b'moshe v'elio, kimlo nekev machat tzedikis, so then, lo yichol lamo b'bnei ha'ora. Moshe Rabbeinu and Elio, they had the schus to have Gilui Shechina of an unbelievable level, so they had to be hidden away, because if they had seen the Shechina, as the Pasuk says, Shenemar, Kilo Yirani Odom Uchai, if somebody were to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they couldn't withstand it, they couldn't live through it, so therefore, they had to be protected. So when they were hidden in the cave, so it said that when Moshe and Elio were hidden in the cave, if there had been even a little hole or crack in the cave to allow even a little bit of light to come through, like the size of a machat, like the machat sidkis, like the eye of a needle, so then they would have not been able to withstand seeing that level of the Shechina. Lo yichol lamod b'nei ha'ora. It would have been too bright for them and they would have died. Because the apostle says, nobody can see HaKadosh Baruch Hu and still be alive. So that was another statement for Ruchia, Barab Amar Yochanan. We have one more. Yomar Ruchia, Barab Amar Yochanan. My Dixit, what does the pasuk mean when it says, Valeim Kechol Hadvarim, Asher Dibar Hashem Imochem Bahar? So this is a pasuk that we have from the Dvarim, and it says that the writing on the Luchos was exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to them on Har Sinai. So Malami, this teaches us, Sheharo HaKadosh Baruch Hu LeMoshe Diktukei Torah, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu all of the interpretations of the Torah, Diktukei Torah. So Moshe Rabbeinu learned everything. And not only that, he learned the Diktukei Sofrim. He learned everything that the Chazal would be darshining from this. Umasha Sofrim Asidim Chadish, and all the Chidushim that would come in the future. So if somebody nowadays comes up with a Chidushim Torah, it was already shown to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. And what is an example of Sofrim Asidim Lechadesh? Umayniyu, what is an example of that? Oh, Mikra Megillah, the din of reading the Megillah was already shown to Moshe Rabbeinu on Har Sinai. We go to the next Mishnah. The Mishnah says that Kol Ksherim Lekorsis Megillah. Everybody is qualified and is able to go and be kosher to read the Megillah, with the exception of Chutz Mecheirish Shot Mekotter. These three people, a Cheirish, obviously it's talking about a Cheirish who can be Medaber. If he can't be Medaber, so obviously he can't read the Megillah. So it's talking about a person who's deaf, Nebuch, but he is able to talk. So such a person also cannot read the Megillah, because you have to hear the Megillah, and he can't hear the Megillah, so therefore he's not Mechuyev in it, and therefore he can't be able to see somebody else. Likewise, a Shota. A Shota is a person who's not a Bardas. You have to be a Bardas in order to be able to fulfill the mitzvah. And therefore, if you can't fulfill it for yourself, then you can't fulfill it for somebody else. Even if he knows how to read it, he's still called a Shota. The Katan, a person who's under the age of Bar Mitzvah, so such a person is not obligated, and therefore he can't be Motzi somebody else. Now, on the latter, Rabbi Yehuda Machshir B'Katan. Rabbi Yehuda says, no, a Katan could be Yotze the Megillah for somebody else. He could go and read it for someone else and be Motzi then. Gemara starts off and says, Mantana Cheresh Dieved Namilo. Who is the author of our Mishnah that says that a Cheresh doesn't have an obligation to be Megillah, and even be Dieved, he wouldn't be able to be Motzi somebody else? So Amar Rav Masa, Rav Masa says, this is the opinion of Rav Yosi. This is the opinion of Rav Yosi. Did not, because we learned in a Mishnah, we learned this in Gemara and Brachos. Mar Brachos tells us, Hakori es Shema velo Yishmi Eliyazno, if a person reads Shema but didn't hear the words, nevertheless, Yotze, he is Yotze. That's the Tanakhama's opinion, that you don't have to hear the words, Bidyevid Yotze. Rav Yossi says, no, Rav Yossi may even Bidyevid lo Yotze. So Rav Yossi says over there that even Bidyevid you're not Yotze. So to over here, Rav Yossi is the one that says that the Cheresh, even Bidyevid, since he can't hear it, is not able to be Yotze somebody else. Nakmur says, maybe not. When my Rav Yossi, who says that this is Rav Yossi, Bidyevid Nami Lo, that it's talking about even Bidyevid it's no good? Maybe Dilma, this opinion is actually Rabbi Yehudi, and he's only talking about Lichachil, he can't be Motzi somebody else, Hudlo, however, or Bidyevid, Shapir Dami. But actually, Bidyevid, after the fact, it would be good. Who says our Mishnah is talking about a din of Bidyevid? Maybe our Mishnah is only talking about over here, Lichachil, the Cheresh can't read it, but Bidyevid, it would be good. And that would be the opinion of the Chachamim, of Rabbi Yehuda. Mor says, don't think that for a second. Because it says in our Mishnah, Cheresh Shota V'Katan. And therefore, Cheresh Dumya the Shota V'Katan. Just like a Shota V'Katan can't be Bidyevet, so too the Cheresh can't be Bidyevet. My Shota V'Katan, the Evet Nami Lo, Al Cheresh, the Evet Nami Lo. Also, the Cheresh can't do it Bidyevet. Ah, so therefore, it must be that it's Rav Yossi and not Rav Yehuda. Or it says, Lav Davka. Maybe not. Who says that this Hekish applies? V'dilma ha-kadisa v'ha-kadisa. No, maybe the Cheresh is different than the Shot and the Katan. Shot and the Katan, even Bidyevit is no good. But Lav Davka, the Cheresh is only L'chachila no good, but Bidyevit could be good, and maybe our Mishnah could be Rav Yehuda. Lav Davka is Rav Yossi. Or it tries again. It says, no, keep on reading our Mishnah. Midiktani Sefer. It then goes and tells us, Rav Yehuda Machshir B'Katan. So clearly, Miklal, the Reish, Lav Rav Yehuda. Since the Sefer is now coming to tell us the opinion of Rav Yehuda, obviously, the Reish is not Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says, no, maybe the Dilma Kul Rav Yehuda, maybe the entire Mishnah is Rav Yehuda, and we sometimes have this, it will stay in a statement, and then it tells us, and Rav Yehuda said, meaning he continues to talk, and actually the entire Mishnah is the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Shmuel says, wait a second, Mi Dami Reisha L'Psula V'Seva L'Ksheira, is it really possible to say that? The Reisha says that a Katan is no good, how could the Sefer then say that a Katan is good? They're mutually contradictory, so you can't say it's Kul Rav Yehuda, it doesn't make any sense. No, Gemara says, no, maybe it's still called Vidum Okul Rav Yehudi, Utre Gabni Katan Konilo. There are actually two different types of cotton. The first cotton, Rav Yehuda says, is no good. The second type of cotton, Rav Yehuda says, is good. What do you mean, two types of cotton? The Chisur Mechsevach Itani. You have to have missing words in the Mishnah. I mentioned many times the Rebbe has specifically left out sometimes in the Mishnah certain things because Esan Sosemi Ferus Osecha, he was allowed to go write down the Mishnayis when they're really Torah Shabbat Pen. You're not supposed to write them down, but He said, people aren't going to be able to learn Mishnah anymore by heart, and we'll lose it all. So therefore, he had a special dispensation to write it down, but still, he left out certain parts to remind us that the Mishnah shouldn't be written down. In any event, this is what the Mishnah really should be read as, and it really is Rav Yehuda. Hakol Sheim Likros is a Megillah. Technically, anybody can read the Megillah, with the exception of Chutz Mechay Rishot of a cotton. They can't. But what type of cotton are we talking about? You're talking about a 3-year-old kid, 4-year-old kid. He happens to be very smart, and he knows how to go and read very, very well. But he has no clue what's going on. He doesn't understand Megillah. He doesn't understand this mitzvah of Megillah reading. He happens to be smart, and he can read it. So such a cotton, he can't read even B'dievet. However, if you're reaching Baruch Hashem, a cotton 8-year-old, 10-year-old kid, and he knows what's going on, then Rav Yehuda says, he could read the Megillah, because he says, once the kid's in Baruch Hashem, so then you could have a cotton go read the Megillah. So Gemara says, okay, so how do you want to understand the Mishnah? But Mayukimta, you're understanding our Mishnah, Rav Yehuda, B'dievet, and our Mishnah is talking about that even B'dievet, is this acceptable? But wait a second, Eloha. How about, however, the Tani Rabbi Yehuda Bered Rabbi Shimon Ben Pazi, he said, Cheresh HaMedaber Ve'eno Shemea Torin L'Chachila, he allows a Cheresh who is able to speak but he can't hear. That's, again, the normal definition of Cheresh, he can't hear and he can't speak. But here, we're talking about a specific Cheresh that is able to speak so he can say the Bracha, Ve'eno Shemea, but he just can't hear. So Torin L'Chachila, he's allowed to go and take off the Trumas HaMaisis L'Chachila and make the bracha, even though he won't hear it. Now, whose opinion is this, Mari? If you're telling me it's Rabbi Yehuda, so d'yevet in l'chachila, no. This would only be allowable b'di'evet. L'chachila, somebody else should be Torim and make the bracha, because Rabbi Yehuda only allows it b'di'evet. So this is saying that Torim l'chachila can't be Rabbi Yehuda. And it certainly can't be Rabbi Yossi, because Rabbi Yossi holds d'yevet namilo. It's also no good b'di'evet. So who is the author of this? Elamai, what must you say? It must be the Rabbi Yehuda. He is the one that is the author of this brisa, v'afilu l'chachila, and he allows it l'chachila. But wait a second, then we have a problem. Eloha d'tanya, lo yivarech adam b'yachas ha'mozim b'libo, person isn't allowed to bench to himself. He has to bench loud enough they can hear it. However, v'imbeirach, if he did bench, he said the words, he can't think it, but he said the words, but he couldn't hear it, b'di'evet yotze, yotze. Now, Mani, who is this? Again, lo Rav Yehuda, lo Rav Yossi. It can't be either of those two, because he Rav Yehuda, then we just said, afilu l'chachila should be good. And if you tell me it's Rav Yossi, then afilu b'di'evet, namilo. So it's no good no matter what. So we're stuck. Who do these all go like? We turn to Chof Amud Aleph. Le'ola, Rav Yehuda, afilu l'chachila. In fact, Aloch is like Rav Yehuda, even l'chachila is good. Ayvelo kasha, so we seem to have a steer over here. One place he says it's only good b'di'evet, one place it's good l'chachila. So it depends who he's talking about. Ha'didei, the brisa which says that a dead person is allowed to go be mafresh trumas or ma'isos, that follows Rav Yehuda's own opinion himself. L'chachila can do that. However, when he said that for the benching, you're only allowed to do this b'di'evet, that follows the opinion of his rabbeim that say it's only good b'di'evet. And I'll show you that this is right, the Tanya, because we learned in a brisa. That if you're reading Shema, you must hear what you're saying. Shenema, because the post says Shema Yisrael, you have to hear. Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, you have to hear what you're saying. Hashmei Elozecha Ma'ashar Tamotzi Mipicha, you have to hear what you're saying. That is the opinion of Rabbi Elozer ben Azariah. Rabbi Meir disagrees. Rabbi Meir Omer, Asher Onuchim Mitzavecha Hayom Alivavecha. It has to be Alivavecha. Acha Kavana Salev Hein Him Advarim. No, even if you don't hear the words, it's okay as long as you had Kavana. Now. So you see here now that Rabbi Yehuda's Rebbe, he said it over the name of Elozer ben Azariah. So now that you come to this idea that there's a difference between Rabbi Yehuda and his Rebbe, I feel the same. Rabbi Yehuda can Rabbi Yisrael. You could even say that Rabbi Yehuda holds like his Rebbe, that it has to be only b'di'evet that you yotzei l'chachila. You have to hear what you're saying. And what about the contradiction? Then behold, the Tani Rabbi Yehuda b'rei the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi, that which Rabbi Yehuda b'rei the Rabbi Shimon ben Pazi said that a person who's deaf is l'chachila allowed to go be torim the trumas and maisers and make the bracha. That is the opinion of Rav Meir. That's Rav Meir, and it's not the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Now we just conclude. We'll get to the Mishnah. Rav Yehuda machshav b'katan. Rav Yehuda says that a katan is allowed to go and read the Megillah. Now we have the gears of the Tanya. It says on the side it really should be just Tanya. There's the two dots over here, and it's not the Tanya. So Tanya. So we learned in the Brayz on Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says katan yisi. When I was a young child, I was a katan myself. Ukrisia lamala Rabbi Tarfon and Zakenim belot. I myself was the one that read the Megillah in front of the Zakenim, Rabbi Tarfon, and the other Zakenim in Lod, Talmid Chachamim, and they didn't say boo. So therefore, it must be that a katan is allowed to read it. Armelo, however, his colleague said to Rabbi Yehuda, "That's not a proof. Ain't me being raya, I'm in a katan. You can't bring me a raya from what happened to you as a katan." You're not reliable, so we can't trust that what you're saying for what you're testifying is a cotton. A cotton is not able to give testimony. Similarly, at Tanya, we learned another brisa. Amar Rebbe said, "Cotton Yisi, I was also a cotton. Ukrisia l'mala mirevuda, and I also read the Megillah in front of Rabbi Yehuda." And again, they told him, "Amar lo," but not the same answer that they told Rabbi Yehuda, they told him, "Ein mevi'in raya min ha-matir. You can't bring me a raya from the matir." Rabbi Yehuda was the one that's matir, so he's the das yochid, so you can't bring me a raya from there because all the other chacham might not have allowed it. So Gemara says, why didn't they give the same answer of lemulo ein mevi'in raya min ha-katan? Why didn't they give the answer that they gave to Rabbi Yehuda that you did this as a katan? We can't bring a raya to that. So the Gemara says, yeah, that too. Chada, they gave that teretz, but old Kamarlo, and they said, furthermore, number one, Chada, the Kadna, you said, we can't trust you because you were Katan, and the testimony you're giving now is based upon what you did as a Katan, it's not reliable. But, and furthermore, even if we were to accept that, Afilu Gadol, you said, even if you're telling us you were Bar Mitzvah at that time, Ein Vi'in Raya Min Amatir, you did this in front of Rabbi Yehuda, he's the one that permits it. But Lav Davka, then everybody else agreed with him to that din. Okay, Baruch Hashem, a little bit of a shorter shir today, we got pretty far, with this we conclude today's shir.